Fatality.
Ain't nobody talking when I'm talking, fellas, so shut the fuck up. The following items you place in the envelope as I call them off. An empty wallet. Legal paperwork. First three out of the tank.
Line up a single file along the bench. Let's go. You open your mouth. Stick out your tongue. All right, do your ears, one at a time. Okay, bend your hands over. Shake them out with your fingers. Hands above your head. Hands out in front of you. Over. Move those fingers. Reach down and lift up your nutsack. Drop your nutsack, skin back your dick. Turn around. One foot at a time. Pick it up and wiggle the toes. Other foot. Okay, bend over. Grab your ass. Spread your cheeks and give me two good coughs.
Walking in my big black boots. Walking in my big black boots.
Goddamn! It's Thursday, August 13th, 2020. You're about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, sitting way over there, well beyond the socially accepted six-foot distance, is my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing this evening?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm doing good. I can't complain.
Good. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as you pointed out, it's been a busy week. But before we get to that, I think we need to discuss what we're drinking tonight. So lay it on me, man. What did the bartender serve you this evening?
You know, that bartender needs to be fired, because I just have a Pepsi with lemon, a Pepsi with ice, not even lemon today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's fired.
Well, I'll back that, because all he brought me was water.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. These new interns, they get their foot in the door and they think they run the place.
Well, they're not getting the tip, I'll tell you that.
So what do you have as a drink?
Water.
Water. Oh, man. You did that last time. Awful. Do you think we're slowing down, man?
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to think so, but everything points to yes.
But the thing is,
I'll go like this and I'll be good. But then I'll have that one night where I just like kill an entire bottle of whiskey and knock myself out for the next 3 days. So
you let your liver think that it's getting the upper hand, and then you come out with a surprise hook.
Can't have no liver getting up. Can't get uppity with me, liver.
Yeah. Not on my watch, damn it. That's rich. So what do we have in tow today?
Well, I think let's start out. We're going to go up to Minnesota, because we do have some updates from the George Floyd murder that happened. You sent this over to me from Fox News. Would you like me to read it, or would you?
You can go over it, yeah.
The Attorney General in the George Floyd case wants to join all four cases in the slaying. I'll read maybe the first few paragraphs here. The cases of four Minnesota former police officers charged in George Floyd's death should be combined into a single trial, the state attorney general said in a motion filed Wednesday. Floyd, a black man, was killed in police custody in Minneapolis on May 25th after an officer who was recorded in a bystander's video knelt on his neck for nearly 9 minutes. Three other officers were at the scene as witnesses filmed it and, along with Floyd, pleaded with police to let him breathe. He eventually lost consciousness and was later pronounced dead at the Hennepin County Medical Center. The medical examiner ruled the manner of death a homicide.
Well, it's good that, you know, the medical examiner got that right, because it seemed like everything else has gone south. But this is on a side note. I think these cops look good in orange. I mean, you don't. Oftentimes, when you know, cops kill somebody, you know, they go out and have a sandwich, and you know, they're, you know, working the beat the next day. But these guys, they caught some piece of it, and I think that's deservedly so.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my initial question about this was, well, I don't think I had thought it entirely through. When I heard that they was wanting to charge them all at the same time, or I guess, you know, they want to join on, you know, one trial, I was thinking, does that mean that there's only one kind of charge, or but I guess that's not necessarily the case. There's like, because someone's getting second degree murder, third degree, second degree manslaughter. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, it seemed like they, you know, I mean, anytime you have, like, my general, you know, working idea for almost everything is that, you know, things do only one thing well, if that makes sense. So if you have a device that claims that it's a camera, it's a level, it's a recorder, it's a shortwave radio, and it's a GPS, it'll probably do one or two of those things, but most of those things it would do quite poorly. That's just my, you only get to specialize in one thing, and if you try to do, you know, maybe a Swiss Army knife is probably the only really successful multi, you know, multi-tool that in a computer. But I think that this only serves to muddy the water and make it such that, you know, that, you know, all these guys get off.
Well, that's what my question was. Is it they all are acquitted, or they all are convicted, or can it be piecemeal? Can if they try them all together, can half of them be convicted and half of them be acquitted? I'm looking down through here at the rest of this article. I don't see that being addressed. Prosecutors argue that the charges and evidence against the four defendants are similar. The accused men's defenses are not antagonistic to one another, and separate trials would burden the state, the witnesses, and the court, and could result in prejudice among jury pools, according to a memo filed in support of the motion.
Yeah, if granted, the motion submitted on submitted by Attorney General, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, would save the state time, money, and spare the witnesses and family potential traumatizing effects of having to go through four separate trials.
This could, I mean, I don't know. I'm afraid that this is setting the stage, like you said, setting the stage for a really bad outcome.
Yeah, I think it's setting the stage for a really bad outcome, and yeah, I think, and as things have come out, it seems that there are varying degrees of culpability for these guys. So, you know, does the Asian guy that was dealing with the crowd, is he as culpable as the guy who had his knee on the back of the neck? Probably not. Is the guy who was saying, hey, do we need, you know, should we be doing this? Should we be turning him over so he can breathe? Is he as culpable as the highest ranking cop on the site? Probably not. But yeah, this is likely to be a bad outcome, and Minnesota might burn again.
I agree. I just really hope that that's not by design.
Well, I mean, That's the rabbit hole part. By design. And that goes into that area that I usually try to stay away from, and that is trying to attribute a motive to someone's boneheaded actions. But in this case, I guess as this thing moves forward, we'll get a better intention if this thing's being just dropped, if the ball's just being dropped terribly, we'll have to call him out.
Now, also, I mean, I'm guessing that just because that this is what the Attorney General wants doesn't necessarily mean that it's what he'll... I mean, can't...
Well, the judge can be like, yeah, no.
Do the defendant's representation have anything to say about it?
They can argue for or against it. I mean, if I were a defense attorney, would you want your guy sitting in orange next to the guy with the... next to Mr. Knee in the back of the neck. I mean, that guy would be like kryptonite. You want to keep your, if you're the guy who's the, if you're defending the Asian guy who is dealing with the crowd, you don't want him sitting next to Derek Chauvin, do you?
Nope.
No.
Not at all.
So, I mean, it seems as if everybody and their mother should want this to be separate. And yeah, going through four different trials, that's not ideal, but, there's this thing called justice, and justice demands a reckoning.
Do you recall, and you may have been too young to recall, but you probably read about it, the L.A. riots, Rodney King.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was 11 years old.
Were those cops all tried together, or were they separate? I want to think they were tried together.
I think they were tried together, and I think the reason the riots occurred because they all got freed at the same time. So
right.
I mean that's probably what was sparking my thought when I was like, yeah, it looks like Minnesota might burn after this. But if it burns, we will be able to say, hey, you heard it first that Minnesota is going to burn after this, and so. We can mark the day, August 13th, 2020?
Yeah, we called it.
Told you so. I mean...
Oh, my goodness.
But speaking of stories that keep on going on and on and on...
Yeah, I just can't let this go, Joe. I gotta bring it up.
What's that, man? What are you having a hard time letting go, Brian?
This whole COVID-19 thing. What's got stuck in my craw this time was a story in Ohio. Titled "Six Ohio Businesses Cited Over the Weekend for Violating Health Orders," and But here's the thing. The order was announced. It was enforced on the same day that it was announced, so there was no real heads up to any of the people that we're talking about here.
So, were the people who were drinking, were they penalized, or the bar owners penalized?
The bar owners.
And now, were they actually given the actual penalty, or were they able to get it, thrown out through on a pill or something like that? Because because anyone worth their, if you hire an attorney and he doesn't bring that up, you should get your money back.
Well, I don't know how this is shaken out in court yet, but the citations come after Governor Mike DeWine issued several health orders, including a statewide mask mandate and a halt on alcohol sales after 10 p.m. And as you so astutely asked before we started recording, what's so magical about 10 p.m.?
It's a nice round number for one.
Yeah, I don't know. Other than that, I don't know, man.
Well, and presumably bat. Like I know, like Chris Rock has a thing that said, like, hey, if you're getting money out of an ATM at 2 o'clock in the morning, usually bad things are in the awning. Maybe they were like, yeah, this is like a sin tax, where yeah, if you're drinking after 10 p.m., you probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, because if 10 is a great number, well, wouldn't 9 be better?
Well, I mean, nine would be better, but then you have riots in the streets.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, there's a delicate balancing act, man. Come on in.
Yeah. So what do we got here? There's a place called Wayne County Speedway received a citation after holding an event over the weekend. Agents, along with the health department, said they found several health violations, like employees not wearing facial coverings. The OIU issued a violation notice against the liquor permit for improper conduct.
So these guys are out. These guys are busy. I mean, it's one thing to be like, hey, you know, I mean, in D.C. they're like, hey, you know, quarantine starts at like 9. But, like, yeah, we're not going to really start enforcing it until, like, you know, 11. But it seemed like these guys were just chomping at the bit.
They were out looking for violations, and it looked like they expected to find them. Moose Lodge in Waverly was cited after agents entered the business around 12:30 a.m. and saw customers drinking beer.
Sorry, what's the Moose Lodge?
Moose Lodge,
Is it the moose or the loose? That's
moose.
Okay,
moose.
Well, that,
like the, yeah.
But say, oh, okay.
It's like I know what a moose lodge is. I couldn't explain it if you asked me to, though. It's just like a. I've only been to like a moose lodge a couple times, and it was. I don't think I had to.
Wait, so there's a specific type of thing called a moose lodge. This is new learning.
Yeah, it's
this
like,
is new
it's
learning
like
for
a,
me.
No, it's like there's a. It's like every city has a moose lodge, and it's just kind of like a club. I guess it's like just a big drinking club.
The VFW.
Yeah, something like that. I guess that's what I would equate it to. I think.
Hey, I'd never been to a. Moose Lodge. Never. I mean, it sounds like one of those things that I would drive by and be like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, they're very unassuming. At least the one I went to. It's not like it's got big neon letters out front. It was like Moose Lodge.
Like beer in here.
Yeah. It was like on some back streets or whatever. No. You know, I was along for the ride. Yeah,
nothing ever shady happened in the back seats after 10 p.m. 10 p.m., right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Just making
so,
sure.
So anyway, this just kind of goes along with my. It's like these. I don't know. It's just like these governors, and it doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. It's like they get this power, and it just goes to their head, and they just start doing the craziest shit, you know. And I don't. All of these. These just seem pointless, and it goes back to the beginning. Governor Whitmer in Michigan, she had some of the craziest rules too. Like you can go to stores, but you can only buy this and you can't buy that. And
you know, Brian, I just sense entirely too much independent and critical thinking on your part. Why don't you just what you're supposed to do and obey? Is that too hard, man? Just do it. Nike. I mean.
And you know, the funny thing is, and I can admit this, is I have voluntarily for probably almost a decade now lived a COVID-19 lifestyle. but now that I'm in a position where if I decided I wanted to go out and do something and I can't, now it bothers me.
Well, that's always the issue. Like, yeah, you want to do what you want to do, and you get pissed when you can't do what you want to do. So that seems perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
But hopefully this whole thing will blow over soon, because our good friends in a faraway land have a solution.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
well, that's good, because we need a solution.
Brought to you by your friendly Russians.
No, not the Russians.
Yes, those Russians. It's funny because, like, it seemed like back in the 50s, like, the Democrats and the Russians were, like, co, and now the Democrats and the Russians are not.
Yeah, I had noticed that as well. It's weird how things have changed over the years.
But according to CNN, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced approval for a coronavirus vaccine for use on Tuesday, claiming it as a world first amid the continued concern and unanswered questions over its safety and effectiveness. A vaccine against coronavirus has been registered for the first time in the world this morning, Putin said on state TV. I know it works quite effectively, and it forms stable immunity. Putin added that one of his daughters has already taken it. He said she had a slightly raised temperature after each dose, but now she feels well.
Well, I was going to say, Putin, put your money where your mouth is.
Oh yeah,
but I guess. Put your money where your daughter's mouth is, I guess.
Yeah, he saw you and raised his daughter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but could you? I mean, you gotta love this. Okay,
that's a bold move.
Yeah, that's ballsy. There's cojones. I mean, you see the pictures of him riding around on a horse without a shirt. That's, you know, that's some stuff that a guy that rides around on a horse without a shirt would do. He uses his daughter, his beloved daughter, as a test experiment. Could you imagine any American, you know, President Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump? Like, can you imagine, like, Donald Trump coming out tomorrow and be like, yeah, we've got a vaccine and I'm going to shoot up Barron with it.
He's already fucked up. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
The thing is like, have you noticed how low profile his kid is? I mean, he's like the incognito kid. Like, for little Sasha and Malia, they were like, you know, they were always, you know, just around. But in, you know, but this Barron kid, he's like taller than his dad, but you never really see him. It's weird.
I was watching a video of the inauguration, but anyway, he was standing there, and the kid just looked like he would have rather been anywhere else. But
well, yeah, I mean, it seems cool from the point of view of a person whose dad isn't the president, but just imagine being that kid, like, oh, you know what, instead of hanging out with my friends, or, like, you know, imagine all the crap you used to do between, let's say, hello, can you hear me?
I'd be pissed off, oh, yeah, man.
So, like, you know, for that adventure that you used to have, imagine having armed federal agents tagging along with you. This would be like a real, you know, downer.
Yeah, when you think of, I do, when you put it like that, I thought about my childhood and the things I did, and I would have a chip on my shoulder if I couldn't do the stuff that I did as a child. Now, I understand that we're different lives and whatnot, but
the crazy thing
kids are still kids, man.
The crazy thing now is that you said you would have had a chip on your shoulder. These kids probably actually have chips in them.
They have chips in their shoulder. Yeah.
Once again, taking it to a whole new level. Like, a whole new level of realness. But,
Dad!
Yeah. Sorry, son. Yeah, fun has been canceled forever.
Ugh.
How do we get
tired of it? Tired of it.
Speaking of being tired, do you think you might be experiencing pandemic fatigue?
I think that's a perfect description of what I'm experiencing.
Okay. So have you experienced any increased irritability?
Oh, yeah.
Any suffering of anxiety?
You know, in my own way, I'd say yes.
Okay. So, we're 2-0.
Yeah.
feeling tense?
Yeah.
Okay. Insomnia or oversleeping?
Now that is, that is huge. Yes.
Really?
I'm up. I'm awake every hour and a half all night long, and until it's time to wake up in the morning, and then I can't get my ass out of bed. It's
that's the worst, man. It's like a double whammy.
Yeah, and isn't that what you just said? Even it was like heart trouble sleeping, and then getting too much sleep, and
yeah. Insomnia and oversleeping.
Yeah,
I'll say I've got that one. The insomnia, like you've actually gotten texts from me like what 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Why?
And I've replied.
Yeah, and I'm
like, because I'm awake too.
I'm like, damn it, Brian, why are you up? Oh, why am I up?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see here. Eating too much or too little?
Yeah, I'm on the eating too much. I got some COVID-19 weight that I am desperately trying to get rid of.
Yo, like I'm on the other side, eating too little. I probably eat 2 meals tops a day and a snack. Sure. And let's see here, lack of motivation.
Yeah.
Same here. Experience reduced productivity.
Unfortunately, yes.
Losing focus and concentration.
I don't want to. I've said yes to every one of these so far.
What are you like? 5-0, 6-0.
I'm starting to feel kind of ashamed.
I mean, what's there to be ashamed about? of the things that we could list that we both have to be ashamed of, this stuff isn't on there. What?
That's a great point.
Let's see here. And last one, and I'm sure this one you won't recognize, having social withdrawal.
Yeah, I withdrew from society a long time ago.
You're like, who needed COVID for that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, now you, I don't want to, you know, come down on you too hard for the whole withdrawal piece, but because a good portion of people out there are trash. So,
is this a diagnosable thing now?
Not yet. Give it a year or so. I mean, I just saw this article and it was just talking about COVID pandemic fatigue, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, I think most people, if they're honest with themselves, have experienced that. And let me see if I can find out where it is. Okay, let's see here. Techniques to help cope with quarantine fatigue. Many people initially enjoyed the break from routine work schedules, but after months of quarantine, the appeal is lost as feelings of enjoyment turn into ones of helplessness. For those afflicted, it begins to feel as if the pandemic will never end. If you think you're suffering the effects of quarantine fatigue, try the following techniques to help combat these feelings. Ready?
Hit me.
Practice relaxation techniques such as meditation, yoga, walks in nature, or anything else that gives you a sense of calmness and happiness. Achieving mindlessness is a great coping technique. And I will say that I've been doing a lot of that. Been doing a lot of walking. Since about July 14th or 15th, I've been walking almost every day, about at the very least an hour a day. So much so to the point that I've lost about 18 pounds.
Wow. Good for you, man.
Oh, yeah. That was that. I mean, I saw a picture of myself. Well, no, I didn't see a picture of myself. I went to a doctor's appointment back in, like, February. And you know how the very first thing they do, they put you on a scale?
Right.
And I tipped it at, like, some large, terrible number. I mean, just, it was bad. And you ever see something like that, and you're like, oh, man, I kind of used to judge fat people for being fat, but not really. But, it's, how do you get so fat? And the thing is, it kind of creeps up on you. You don't wake up like, oh, my goodness. You don't see it coming. You just wake up and you are. And so.
Yeah, it's a sneaky bastard that way.
Yeah, and I saw myself, I'm like, oh, man, I'm a little puffy. And so, yeah, then I think I must have saw something that said, people die when they're fat, and I'm like, I was beginning to push 300 pounds, and for some reason, 300 pounds and Joe Hyde did not go together. So there you have it.
Wow.
Let's see here. If anxiety increases, try to focus on deep breathing exercises as a form of relief. Focus on positivity and ways that bring you joy. Try watching comedy movies, reading uplifting books, or listening to fun podcasts and your favorite music. Well, we know a little something about a fun podcast.
I think so.
Yeah. Next one, take breaks during the workday. Make a concerted effort to get outdoors for a few minutes every day for a brisk walk. And even if the heat is too much, try doing stretches on the living room floor to relieve tension. Reimagine your workspace. Give yourself separation between work and leisure by fixing up your home in ways you have always wanted to. Let's see here. Reach out to colleagues. We're all in this together. Make the effort to connect with others. Let's see here. Any of those sound like they might be helpful at all?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I do, when I think to do it, I do like, I don't know what to call it, like controlled breathing, or I just pay attention to my breathing.
Like deep breathing?
Yeah. And so when I think to do it, I do that, and it does, I usually do it when I'm going to bed, and it puts me out. It puts me out quick. But
is your mind always racing?
Well, my problem is, and I know. See, I know some of my problems. Like, I go to bed listening to a podcast or something. I don't know. It doesn't even matter what it is. It's just I've always, my entire life, I've needed some kind of a noise, either a fan blowing or lately it's podcast, but I've always needed just some kind of noise to go to sleep. But now it's like these podcasts, I'll go to sleep, and then when I wake up every hour and a half, like I said before, I'll put the podcast back on and do it again. And if I just need to kick that habit.
Yeah, you're sorry.
Yeah, I need to kick that habit. And then the other thing that's easy to do that I don't do enough of is I need to get outside more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am probably horribly deficient of vitamin D.
Well, it's funny because vitamin, I know you're, what's the guy, Scott, what's his face? The Dilbert guy.
Scott Adams.
Scott Adams, that's right. He's got two first names. No, Adams is not a first. Yeah, Adams is a first name. But he was pushing one of the conspiracy theories that perhaps the whole COVID piece was nothing more than a huge vitamin D deficiency. Because I know we've talked about this really briefly, that Iran and some of the other places in the Middle East were absolutely ravaged by this thing. Like, it was. Like, what happened in Iran, if it were to happen even at half the scale it occurred in Iran, we would, people would have ran up into the White House by now.
Yeah.
So it was real bad. Let me see here. Let me see if we can finish this, the last few. Make sure we get this information out to the people. Let's see here. Oh, scale back on around-the-clock news and social media monitoring. Limit your exposure to COVID-19 discussions. Just learn what you need to know and move on to another task or leisurely activity. Yeah, I don't understand how you could go to sleep with a podcast on our television. I would never fall asleep then.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume that the stuff you're listening to is at the very least kind of interesting to hold your attention. And so I would just find myself listening to it.
The thing is, I don't think it really holds my attention. I truly think that it just kind of becomes background noise. Although what's interesting is sometimes I will find myself dreaming about what it was I was listening to.
Yeah, make sure it's positive, man, because who wants to, you know, wake up in a nightmare?
Exactly.
it seemed like we both may have a mild touch of the whole pandemic fatigue.
Yeah, and I'm ready to kick it, man.
Once again, our good friends in Russia have a vaccine. All you got to do is go sign yourself up to get shot up with it, and you'll be good, right as rain. Mm-hmm. I can't believe he shot his daughter up with it. I mean,
he's got plenty to choose from, I'll bet.
Yeah, but could you imagine, you know, the guy who said, "Oh yeah, this is safe," and you're like, wait, you're gonna shoot who? His daughter? I mean. Yeah, I said it was safe because we tested it in lab rats and it didn't kill them. And I didn't know you're going to be shooting up with this murderous president's daughter. Guy flees the country.
That's funny.
But speaking of big strong man, the big boss.
Yeah, the big boss. Now I had to stand up and cheer when I read this because. Because this is just, Trump fires the Tennessee Valley Authority's chairman because of hiring of foreign workers. And you hear about this. I've heard about this in other. Actually, my friend. My friend Mike, he worked at a company where they were replacing people with I think they were offshore.
Oh wow!
People, and forcing them, like I think, threatening not to, you know, threatening them by withholding money owed. Yeah, if they did not train their replacements.
I think Ethicon Endo Surgery did some of that stuff. When they first moved when they first got NAFTA and they were able to move their facilities down to Juarez, that's what they did. There are a lot of really bitter people walking around Cincinnati behind that.
That's just like the ultimate, like one of, it has to be one of the ultimate insults, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like how, like, the bad guys, they have you dig your own grave before they shoot you.
Yes,
they
can't be bothered exactly.
To dig it. I mean, I'd be damned if I'm going to make your life easier by digging my own grave. Dig it yourself.
Yeah. Nailed it.
But, so he fires
yes.
The...
Yeah, so the I guess there was all kinds of corruption here, but... President Donald Trump said Monday that he had fired the chairman of the Tennessee Valley Authority, criticizing the federally owned corporation for hiring foreign workers to replace IT workers, that would be me, in Chattanooga and other TVA cities.
It's funny how people, we can see ourselves in these stories.
For sure.
Uh-huh.
Trump told reporters at the White House that he was formally removing TVA chairman James Skip Thompson. I don't know why they put that in there.
Yeah.
And former TVA chairman Richard Howorth from the nine-member board, and he threatened to remove other TVA board members if they continued to hire foreign labor.
It seemed like James Skip Thornton was James Skip the Common Sense Thompson.
Yeah. Trump, who previously denounced an $8.1 million compensation package given to Lyash as ridiculous, also called upon the TVA board to replace Lyash and immediately hire a new chief executive officer who puts the interest of Americans first.
I'd be interested in seeing, being a fly on the wall when they were sitting around thinking, like, okay, like, so we have these workers, these American workers, they cost too damn much, and we just can't take this cost anymore. So we're going to bring in some folks from India. Like, if you're working for a guy who ran on Make America Great Again, how do you ever actually get to the point where you're actually going through with that plan?
Yeah. I guess I just got to think that people who find themselves, you know, they kind of build this bubble around themselves that they live in, and it kind of becomes their own little fiefdom. And
you're kind of like those governors.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, in the age of Trump, who could have possibly thought?
Someone had to have tipped Trump off to this. I mean, because, you know, Trump's got, he's got all kinds of shit that on his plate.
Oh, yeah.
And he probably thought that he wouldn't be noticed. But someone must have brought it to Trump's attention.
And this is one of those things where Trump was likely to have a ready-made solution in hand.
Yeah.
I know what to do with this. Fire.
Oh, yeah. This was made perfectly for Trump.
He had a TV show where he did that for how many years?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, good on him. I don't know if that was reported widely or not, but that was... I had to kind of cheer that because... fuck, that's just dirty. That's just dirty business, and they needed to be held accountable.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, well, the thing is like, do we know if the good guys actually won? Because, like, did the guys get their jobs back? And how long ago was this firing? I mean, if they were fired last year and those guys are, you know, now working at Home Depot,
I don't see it in this article, but I could have swore that I read somewhere that yes, they did get their jobs back.
All right. So I mean, these guys never actually hit the whole unemployment line and all that, you know, drudgery and humiliation. They, you know, really. So, what's take were these people in? Oh, in Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was, you know, they were always voting for Trump anyway. So, like, I'm not sure if he really earned himself. Yeah, he earned himself. He earned himself some goodwill. I mean, there's no universe where Tennessee goes for Biden and what's her face.
Yeah, and he also said that the new CEO must be paid no more than $500,000 a year, which
is still more.
still seems excessive, but it's not an $8 million a year,
and it's still more than what the president earns.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like what, 200? Is that like 200,000 or something?
No, it's like 450 now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think for the longest time it was 250,000. We're like, you know, presidents were quite literally a half step above paupers, and I guess, and yeah. $250,000 is still a piece of change.
Yeah, Trump donates his, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Doesn't he give it? Does each year he gives it to
some cause or, you know, putting crosses on, homeless vets, stuff like that. Good stuff.
Yeah.
But,
well,
okay.
Well, I was going to say that there has been some big news this week.
Really?
And if we don't discuss it, I don't think we can legitimately call ourselves a current events podcast. We've all been waiting for it. There's been a lot of speculation about it, and it's finally happened.
Let me ask you this question: on a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah,
how big was the surprise to you? Were you like, you know, like fall out of your chair shocked, or?
As much as I think that it was a bad idea, this is who I expected.
All right. So, like, you know, you're like, okay, like, let's find the absolute worst possible person they could find and basically, you know, bet the farm that that's who they're going to pick.
Well, you know what? We should tell the people who we're talking about just
you're,
in case.
You're right, yeah, all this foreshadowing.
Joe Biden was assigned a vice presidential candidate. I'm sorry, I had to say that.
It's straight out of central casting.
Yeah, Kamala Harris.
Da 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 da.
Ah, yeah. It's a perplexing choice.
So, like, you know, this Kamala Harris person, I was going to call her a chick. What do we know about her?
Well, she comes from a police background, a very strict police background. Or not strict. I don't think strict is the word. You said it. You worded it. You phrased it really well, and I don't want to butcher how you said it.
If I said it,
You said. You said that Biden was the architect of.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like she was the enforcer.
Yeah,
or something.
The architect and the enforcer of the prison industrial state.
Yeah,
got together and decided to run for president. And a further step back, what we know about Kamala Harris, American senator from the state of California. Her mother is from India. Her father is from Jamaica. She is of the. I mean, her family is from the upper crust of where they're from. So apparently, her grandfather was the equivalent of the Secretary of State for India, and her father was a Stanford professor of economics. So, and her mother was a PhD from Berkeley. So these people were elite is what do you call these people? Very elite.
I hate to say this. But I mean, this was my thoughts about Obama too. She has absolutely nothing in common with the plight of your average everyday black person in America,
or your average everyday white person. I mean, it almost doesn't matter what color you are at this level. When your grandfather was the Secretary of State of a major nation, a country that has over a billion people, and it. That's your elite street cred, so to speak.
Yeah, but when Biden announces that his vice president is going to be a black woman, he's pandering both to women and to the black population.
Now mind you, and this is and we've talked about this. He didn't say it was going to be a black woman, and I think you know what he said. He said it's going to be a woman of color.
Oh my!
We've heard that phrase before, right?
Yeah, we have.
Uh-huh.
He stayed true to that.
Uh huh. And it's funny because when you think of the other people he was looking at, what's her face? Miss Rice from the.
Yeah, there was Susan Rice.
Susan Rice. Another person by the name, I think she was Val Demings.
Okay.
And I think she actually was a cop. She literally was a police officer from like Georgia. He was looking at Tammy Duckworth. She was I think she was a war hero. I think she left a good portion of her body on the battlefield there. It's one of those things where she's for the cause. As evidenced by how she suffered, and then he was also looking at the former governor of Michigan, but that was just a bad idea from the word jump.
Do you think Stacey Abrams was ever a real possibility?
Only in her mind. There's no way. I mean, I don't understand why all these losing politicians. Well, I mean, hell, I mean, my goodness, like, both Joe and, I mean, And we talked about this earlier, the way that Joe Biden got the nomination, you know, which was shady. I mean, he was a losing politician until he won everything. And then right. He picked another losing politician, the person who can't even win her own state, to run as his vice president. And so, that's...
Yeah, and as you pointed out before the show, I think she brings nothing to the table electorally. He was going to California was going to go his way regardless.
Yes, and this is something insidious and terrible about her personally, like you know, her as a person. So. When she first decided to run for president, when she made her announcement where? At her alma mater. Her alma mater was Howard University, a historically black university. And if I recall correctly, I think she may have made the announcement on MLK's birthday, too. So she either made it on MLK's birthday or the very first day of Black History Month. And so, you literally have you know a picture of her at Howard with a you know Howard podium, you know saying, "Hey, I'm from Howard," signaling, "Hey, I'm black." That's, I mean, you've heard of what is it called again? Virtue signaling.
Total virtue signaling.
Yeah, and but you know when you unpack her career, what you find is that she you know, and may. Might you consider cutting in maybe one or two of the most salient clips that we had?
Yeah. Joe, he sent me a video of the Jimmy Dore show where he really broke all this down, and I just didn't have time to get it ready for the show. So I will do that. I'll slice it up and get some good stuff, and I'll insert it here.
We first want to talk about the breaking news that Joe Biden has chosen Kamala Harris as his vice president. Now, I just want to set the stage. Remember the kind of guy Joe Biden is. We're the world's largest penal colony. How did we get there? We have 5% of the world's population. We have 25% of the world's prisoners. How did we get there? Here's Joe Biden. He's going to tell you how we got there.
Alone. And the sad part is that we have no more police in the streets of our major cities than we had 10 years ago. And what the president proposes won't help much. What he proposes is no increase over what the Congress has already approved last year. In a nutshell, the president's plan doesn't include enough police officers to catch the violent thugs, not enough prosecutors to convict them, not enough judges to sentence them, and not enough prison cells to put them away for a long time. That's why right now, 6 out of every 10 criminals who are arrested on drug charges have their cases dropped. That's why we think the president should triple the commitment that he's made tonight for police, prosecutors, and judges for our cities and our states.
So that's how we got there. Guys like Joe Biden writing the crime bill, saying stuff like that, wanting to, build more prisons. So what he's saying, more prisons, more cops, more prosecutors, more prisons. That was his. And so then Kamala Harris comes along and says this.
For people who are progressive thinking and liberal minded, or just progressive thinking in terms of just fix it, is that we all have these posters in our closet that is attached to a stick. That we sometimes will card out when we're talking about criminal justice policy and those statistics that you first heard when we opened it up, incarceration, and we run around with these signs, build more schools, less jails. Build more schools, less jails. And we walk around everywhere, build more schools, we protest, build more schools, less jails. Put money into education, not prisons. There's a fundamental problem with that approach, in my opinion. And it's this. I agree with that conceptually, but you have not addressed the reason I have 3 padlocks on my front door.
So I have a great honor to announce that I've picked Kamala Harris, a fearless fighter for the little guy and one of the country's finest public servants, as my running mate. Now, I just want to play you one more.
I would not be standing here
were it not for the education I received. And I know many of us will say the same thing. And I believe a child going without an education is tantamount to a crime. So I decided I was going to start prosecuting parents for truancy. Well, this was a little controversial in San Francisco.
Stick it up for the little guy. That's how you stick up for the little guy. You prosecute people who have been shit on by the system as hard as anybody has gotten shit on. People who have been abused by the system, people who don't have a chance. That's who she's going after. She's not going after middle class or rich people. She's going after the poorest of the poor. And she's threatening them with jail. You want to hear it? You think I'm kidding?
And frankly, my staff went bananas. They were very concerned because we didn't know at the time whether I was going to have an opponent in my reelection race. But I said, look, I'm done. This is a serious issue, and I've got a little political capital, and I'm going to spend some of it. And this is what we did.
The place where she decided to spend her political capital was to throw parents of poor children who are truant in jail. That's where she decided to spend her political capital. Not prosecuting bankers or Steve Mnuchin, which she inexplicably did not, which we're going to get to also. But she decided to use all her political, I got some political capital, let's use it. Let's terrorize poor people. Here we go.
We recognized that in that initiative, as a prosecutor in law enforcement, I have a huge stick. The school district has got a carrot. Let's work in tandem around our collective objective and goal, which is to get those kids in school. So, to that end, on my letterhead, now let me tell you something about my letterhead. When you're the DA of a major city in this country, usually the job comes with a badge. And there is often an artistic rendering of said badge on your stationery. So I sent a letter out on my letterhead to every parent in the school district, outlining the connection that was statistically proven between elementary school truancy, high school dropouts, who will become a victim of crime, and who will become a perpetrator of crime. We sent it out to everyone. A friend of mine actually called me and he said, Kamala, my wife got the letter. She freaked out. She brought all the kids into the living room, held up the letter, said, if you don't go to school, Kamala's going to put you and me in jail. Yes, we.
That's hilarious. She's scaring the shit out of people with jail for truancy. So there you go. So it's a natural pick. First of all, it makes no sense to me, this pick, because she doesn't help him electorally. She's a senator from California, which he's already going to win. She got no votes in the primary. No one fucking likes her. And she's a cop in a time of an anti-cop sentiment in this country. It doesn't make any sense. So, of course, Joe Biden picked her. It was a nice fuck you to everybody who's progressive in the country. That's why they did it. And Bernie's going right along with it. You don't even have to ask. You don't even have to ask that cuck. He's such a cuck.
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting Black and brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to
finish her
bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Thank you, Congressman. Fatality.
All right, Joe. So let's assume that we just heard a bunch of interesting clips about Kamala Harris and her being chosen as the VP.
Her adventures and misadventures of I think as they described it in the clips of trouncing the little guy and pretty much running cover for the powerful and elite.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether I will have included this in the clips. But I've heard that she's done like just things like she had done something where she sent like a bunch of people to jail for pot violations and then joked about smoking pot and
that's why I say like, you know, they realize they need to come together and join forces and run the most tone deaf losing presidential candidate campaign of the century. I mean, I think that after the ass kicking, I mean, the thing is that if they were going against like regular Republicans, they might have a fighting chance, but they're not going against regular Republicans. They're going against Donald J. Trump, a guy who, you know, he's known for being able to pick people out of his party. I mean, I think it's going to be a bloodbath for those guys. I feel sorry for people who, I mean, like, you know, the people who are banking everything on Clinton winning. I feel sorry for those guys. But the fact that, you know, you're right, she went on, you know, she, like, locked up a whole bunch of people for use and possession of a pot, then goes on a radio show and jokes about having used and smoked pot, only from there to have her own father write a letter to, like, you know, the New York Times or something like that, where he rebukes her and the use of I think he says something to the effect that, like, you know she, you know, his mother and father will be turning in their graves if they heard. It's like, you know, I mean, just how does he really feel about the matter?
I also heard a thing. Again, I hate to keep bringing him up, but I'm going to go back to one of Mo Fax's podcasts, and he had mentioned back when she, I think, like when the Democrat primaries first started, and she was making the rounds with different, just different media personalities to get her name out there. I guess she refused. Well, she was asked point blank if she would support reparations.
Oh yeah,
for ADOS only.
And what was her response?
An unequivocal no.
It wasn't just an unequivocal. It would be one thing if she said, Senator Kamala Harris, do you support reparations? If she just said no, that'd be one thing. But she didn't say that. She said, like, what, do you think I'm just going to do something for black people alone? No.
Yeah, as far as when that happened, that's when Mo Fax determined that she was never going to be president. But he's all about ADOS, and I still don't hear people in the mainstream acknowledging or talking about ADOS.
And you won't. It's funny because so many of the things, a lot of things are going to come out about Kamala Harris that haven't come out as of yet. Well, they have come out, but they haven't come out in the mainstream media. So, for example, the fact that when she was first sworn in as the junior senator from the state of California, she wasn't repping her, you know, her ties to the black community. She was running as the first, I mean, she was kind of like the first Indian. She went out as the first Indian person to be an American senator. And I will send you, I looked up the headline before the show just to make sure it wasn't something like that was, just to make sure that it wasn't fake news. And I actually came across the the headline again, and yep, she's mentioned as the first Indian American senator.
Wow.
And if the other thing is, not only has she said she's not doing anything for African American, but she, ramped up efforts to pretty much jail and incarcerate African Americans in the state of California. What's more, and you know, once again, she said that I'm not doing anything specifically for African Americans, but she was quite active in trying to basically lift the cap of people who would come into this country and do the H5N1 visas. So those tech workers that you were referring to,
yeah,
she was like, hey, you know, why is there a cap on this? We, you know, as many people as, you know, companies desire to be able to come over here and get those types of jobs. And so she not only is a, you know, an enemy of, I don't want to say enemy, she not only doesn't look out for African-Americans, but she's also trying to throw the American tech worker under the bus as well. How do you feel about that, Mr. Newman?
Yeah, I don't like it, man. It scares me.
It's funny because Mitt Romney was the same way.
I believe I recall that. I'll be honest, when and this is kind of beside the point, but when this whole hiring offshore people to do the work, I really did think was, I called it a fad even. That was, I feel stupid even saying that now, but I really thought that once the problems, yeah, we did. It happened. I had that opinion during when we was at Ethicon. And I did. I thought once the problems surfaced about offshore resources, that it would go away. But I was wrong. And in a roundabout way, it's probably why I lost my last job in a way.
Well, I mean, the logic being, if you can find someone who can do 80% of what Brian can do, well, you can get him to do it for 20% of what you're paying Brian.
Yeah. So there you go.
That was a trip around the rabbit hole.
I don't think. I kind of got lost there for a second. I don't think she's gonna be able to distance herself from this record, man.
Oh no! I mean, it's funny because I first heard about Kamala Harris, of course, when everyone else did. I think the first time I heard about her was, of course, when she got elected. But her very first big splash was when Jeff Sessions was getting confirmed, and she had this, you know, this squabble match, you know, where she raised her voice and seemed all concerned about Jeff Sessions' his record. Oh, funny thing about Kamala Harris. So, you ever heard the name Steve Mnuchin?
Yes.
Where do you know that name from?
He's a money man, isn't he? Isn't he a banker? Well, isn't he part of Trump's administration now?
Well, your very first description of him was absolutely correct. If you go over to your wallet and look for whose signature is on it, it's his. He quite literally is a money man. But
okay.
But his story intertwines with Kamala Harris because apparently he ran a bank in California during the whole mortgage crisis time. I think it was like Bank One or West One or Bank West, something like that. Anyway, they were one of the scenarios was they foreclosed on a little old lady because I think she was like, you know, 4 cents. I think she owed them 4 cents, like less than a quarter.
Yeah.
And they foreclosed her house over that. And the way they were doing it, it was highly illegal. And how this touches Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris was the Attorney General of the state of California when this happened, and so there are actual stories that are rife in the California papers that show that her own prosecutors were like, "Yo, you need to prosecute this. There are thousands of cases of illegal evictions and foreclosures," and she was like, "I've got better things to do, like." Put people in prison or in jail if their kids are truant. So literally, Trump's secretary is Trump's secretary now because Kamala Harris refused to prosecute her. And this is the other. This is the other thing. She also got a donation from Steve Mnuchin when she ran for Senate.
Oh, it's incestuous.
Oh yeah, it's an incestuous and small pond these people run in. And so, yeah, I think so. And this is something else. Her rap sheet is just so terrible. It's like really, really bad. I'm sure you've heard about this as well. So apparently, California has these problems that occur quite regularly with wildfires. Okay, and instead of going out and hiring people and training them, like you know any normal employer would, what the state of California would do is that it would take people who were nonviolent people in jail, nonviolent criminal offenders in jail, and it would basically take these people and have them fight the fires for about $1 a day.
No.
If
are you serious?
Serious as a heart attack. And when the state of California court said, "Hey, you're keeping these people past their past the time for which they should have been released, past their sentence, and basically try to order the state of California to release them." Kamala Harris's office argued that if they were to release these people, these non-violent folks, that the state of California will lose a valuable source of free labor. So quite literally, like, you know, state-sanctioned slave labor in the 20th century. Thank you, Kamala Harris.
Dude, I didn't think that it was possible for me to like her any less, but you've come through and, like, now she's almost like a super villain.
Yeah.
Like, out of a comic book, a super, like, it just... This is horrible.
Yeah, it put an E across her chest for evil, and this is the other thing. How I knew she was in trouble. Okay, so I used to work with a girl at the company I used to work for, and this girl was an AKA Alpha Kappa Alpha. That's the name of the sorority that Kamala Harris is in. And if you know anything about fraternities and sororities. Is you know they typically are thick ass thieves. So right. If you're an AKA and she's an AKA, you're gonna roll with her because you know you guys work together. That's how you roll. I remember asking this chick, this person, point blank. I'm like, hey, like you know, hey, I see that your fellow soror, Kamala Harris, is running for president. What do you think about that? And the fact that she had a moment of pause and she was like, yeah, she's a soror and all, but she's got too much dirt on her hands. Basically, is what she said. And when I heard that, I thought to myself, okay, yeah, she's not going anywhere fast with her attempt to be the president of the United States. So. And yeah, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm talking way too much.
You have a lot to say, and I mean that in a good way. Some of it I had never heard of, period. And yeah, like I said, I like her even less now than I did before.
In case you didn't think it was possible.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
But once again, you have the architect and the enforcer.
Right.
Running together, and this is a crazy thing. Who's the base of the party? If you had to put your finger on the base of the Democratic Party, would you say it's Indian Americans?
Nope. I would not. I would not.
Would you say it was rich bankers?
I would not.
Would you say African Americans?
I think that's who they rely on every 4 years.
Yeah, ding, 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 tilt. And this is a crazy piece. These two people, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, have made, you know, basically made their career under rioting and running black people into the ground. You know, literally, you know, there. And if you're able to, there's a clip on the Tommy Dore show where it has a much younger, spry, more cocky, confident Joe Biden talking about what needs to be done. And he quite literally says, "Hey, we need to build more prisons, get more cops, and get more prosecutors and judges to throw these folks in jail." And now he's relying on these same people to get him in the White House.
Well, let me ask you the big question then, Joe, the $64,000 question. I know you're not going to vote for Trump, but what are you just going to stay home? Are you just not going to vote this year?
I'm going to vote down ballot. I'm going to not vote for the evil pair, and I'm not going to vote for the other guy. I'm just going to vote for the local positions that I think are important. But you know what this whole thing tells me? And it tells me that God has a terribly wry sense of humor. I mean, you couldn't think of a more poetic, ironic situation to be in than being Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the people who, desperately need black people to be excited and show up for them. And that's just not going to happen in no way, shape, or form at all. Zero. I actually predict that the turnout for African Americans is going to be lower than it was for Hillary Clinton, thus cementing an electoral defeat for those two, barring something else crazy doesn't happen.
Oh, shit, Joe, and this is 2020, the year of crazy shit happening, man.
I mean, I'm actually kind of afraid for us to, I mean, I was like, maybe we should stop, like, talking about that, like, how things are so crazy, because, like,
You ain't seen nothing yet.
No. No, you haven't. And it's only going to get worse.
Damn.
Good times. But let's see here. How are we doing on time?
We're actually doing pretty well. We're about an hour and 10 of actual show, I think. An hour and 10 minutes of actual show. Do you feel like touching on reparations again?
I think we should, and we can talk about this really briefly, because this is something that I came across maybe 15 minutes before I touched base with you today.
Okay.
And of course now it wait a second. I had it lined up. But basically there was the last week we talked about reparations, and right. We talked about the who. Mm-hmm.
ADOS.
Okay. The where.
Here.
Okay. The why.
Payment for services rendered.
Okay. And but we didn't talk about the thing we didn't talk about was the how much.
Yeah, that's going to be the fly in the ointment, as they say.
Another $64,000 question.
Yeah.
And I am annoyed, but okay. So, you remember the two people I told you about last week? The Yvette Carnell and Antonio Moore.
Yes, I do.
One of the things that they're really well known for is basically bringing up this whole reparations debate in a way that it hadn't been done in a very long time. And how they've gone about doing that is they made it their business to go out and get smart on these facts. And so the whole thing, I mean, they actually went out and talked to economists and people who study, this type of stuff, hard news, so to speak. And one of the guys whom they came across in doing this was a guy by the name of Sandy Darity, a generational wealth economist at Duke University. And I still haven't found the article, but I can just tell you a little bit about the guy, about what he's proposing. So he says, if I recall correctly, that the estimate should be between $10 and $12 trillion for reparations.
Okay.
So, I mean, how many zeros is behind trillion? I mean, that's more fingers you have on it than you have on your hand, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, hold on, but because I'm that guy here, I think like 12 trillion, 12 zeros.
That sounds reasonable. That sounds about right. When I was trying to calculate the COVID deaths percentage of the world population and the United States population, I think billions is
nine.
Yeah. Zeros.
Yeah, and so 12 zeros in a trillion, and so 10 to 12 trillion dollars, and that would be, if you were to, I guess apply that all in at one time to every ADOS in the United States, it would be about $800,000. $800,000 per person.
What do you think about $800,000 a person?
I mean, speaking as a person who doesn't have $800,000 and
right.
isn't close to having it in the near future, that's a huge number. But I don't know.
But it's also not the kind of number that you retire on and, set up your children and grandchildren.
Yes, it's.
It's a reasonable number.
Yeah, $800,000. Like, how did Chris Rock say this? You can blow rich with a wild summer and a coke habit.
Yeah.
$800,000. You're right. It's not something. It's not that rock you build upon for generations, if you will. And
right. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
And the thing that we're talking about here is we're trying to make up for, multi-generational deprivation and degradation. And so, the number 10 to 12 trillion does sound impressive right off the bat, but as you put your finger on quite readily, quickly. That doesn't necessarily move them. That doesn't do a lot to move the needle, so to speak. But I did spend some time thinking about one of the things that reparations could include. And this is not being super creative on my part. I think cash payment is a part of it, but I also think that. Institutions of higher learning. I think it should be made easier for people to get an education. I think it's ridiculous that if you want to become a doctor, you have to go into like $1 million worth of debt. Like, in what world does that make any sense? Excuse me, any sense to anyone ever? So I think that the one element definitely has to be cash money. The other element has to be making it almost free for. The subject group to get an education. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we began to look at the question of what, and it's interesting to note that at the very first stab at it, we come up a little wanting when you really break down that number. I mean, we're impressed with the 10 to 12 trillion, but when you really look at it, you're like, maybe we shouldn't be as impressed, in my opinion.
And you know what? I'm just going to say this because I'll be honest. This is just what jumped to my mind is I wonder if they're going to take out taxes on that.
Bastards. Yeah, of course they will. I mean,
because I got a really good severance check when I left my last company. But that's not what got deposited in my bank account.
Yeah, they severanced some of that severance check from you.
Yes, they did.
Uncle Sam has to dip his beak, so to speak. That must have hurt like the dickens.
It hurt, but I'm thinking, but if I was you and this was reparations for that, and then they take
taxes
40% of it.
Oh yeah, I think yeah.
All of a sudden that 800 grand is even less viable.
Impressive. It's amazing how quickly this, you know, how quickly this goes sideways.
And I was kind of joking, but then again, you don't fuck with Uncle Sam's money, man.
And that's one of my iron phrases, like, yo, you don't. Like, they have they have an answer for that. And a sale that you don't get to see outside or breathe free fresh air anymore. You go to jail.
Yeah. Was it you that maybe said back in the day that if Osama bin Laden owed the IRS that they would have found him or something like that?
That I would like to take credit for that, but I'm sure that was someone that was far, far wittier than I. But yeah, the IRS would not have needed, you know, 3-4 years to find out Osama. They would have, you know, they would have had his number.
Yeah.
CIA guys, we're all impressed with those guys.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Say, I think we only have we had one other story on QAnon. As I think about that story, I need to get smarter on it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really have a whole lot to say about it either. So I think we can postpone that for another day.
But there was a story I thought was interesting. Well, two things occurred. Okay. And This is maybe a little foreshadowing because I originally wanted to do Trump versus the deep state.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that.
Yeah. And I was all diligent about it all week and, you know, did all the research and I actually felt pretty good about it. But, you know, some other stuff that I thought was more important came along. And, you know, this Trump versus deep state story isn't going away anytime soon. But
no.
In that vein, I heard two stories that I thought was very odd. I heard a story about the CIA coming out saying that the Russians were trying to denigrate Biden and help Trump win. Have you heard anything like that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good, because it would have made you dumber. I think. I mean, the idea that the CIA is going out and saying that out loud, I don't see how they don't see themselves as trying to put their thumb on the scale of the election, so to speak. They should. Yeah. I mean, that seems to me that they are playing in a pool that they should never be in. You never want the intelligence apparatus to be seen to be influencing an election of a domestic election. Sorry. Foreign election, yeah, sure. But in a domestic election, never.
Right.
And the other thing that's one thing. The other thing that I thought was funny was there was a story from The Hill. Pentagon dismisses talk about military involving itself in election disputes. So apparently a couple of generals wrote an op-ed stating that if Trump loses in 2020, which I think he will not, that he should, should he refuse to leave the office, that the military should jump in and boot him out. Have you seen that at all?
I've not seen that particular, but I think we mentioned it last week or the week before that every year that's the opposite. The opposition party is always says that about the person in office. They won't go. Like I said, they thought Obama was never going to leave, that he would somehow find a third term somewhere in the Constitution, and now they're saying it about Trump, and for whatever. I know that Trump has said some stupid shit, but if anything, he's just trolling. If he loses the election, and he'll turn over power just like every other president has. If we get to the point where we don't do that, then we truly are lost.
Well, and the crazy thing is that you're right. We did talk about this last weekend where we talked about the opposite party saying this. This is these are military people.
Well,
yeah, these are generals.
That's actually, yeah, okay, now I see your distinction there. You'd like for them to just
Shut the freak up.
That's a really good point. I missed that when you first said it.
Oh, that's all right. We
that's a little scary for them to be worrying about that.
Because we, you know, this is a feel good show, and we want people to be able to feel good at the end of it. The Pentagon came out and said, yeah, we're not, you know, there are other mechanisms, and the Defense Department not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole, basically. That's what they said. I think I've also sent it to you just for good measure.
Great.
So. Oh, hey, do you think we changed lives today, man?
Yeah, I think we did. I think even for the better, maybe.
Even for the better.
Mm-hmm. So, and don't you think so?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, like it just took you to sum it up that way.
Well, we did. Surely don't want to take credit for changing lives for the worse.
No. That's other people. Other people did that.
I was doing so well until I listened to those fools.
Yeah. No. But hey, this was a good time, man.
It was. Dare I say it?
What are you gonna say?
Maybe we should do this again in 7 days.
Let's do that.
I don't want to become predictable.
No. Worst thing you can do is become predictable, because then you become boring. But I don't. Yeah, that's not like that. Like I've never been around you and like, yeah, he's boring. No, never happened.
I'll change it up when I need to, man.
Variety is the spice of life, man. Let's do that.
Alright. Well, you take care, and I'll talk to you next time.
Next time, man. Now I'm relaxed. Grab the St. I boot so I can max. Sitting by the window because it's so fucking hot. And then I heard a shot. Boom.